surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the presence of God that is here. We thank you, Lord, for coming and being with us, Lord, in this assembly, in this service. And Lord, we honor your presence today, and we give you the glory for that. And Lord, today, Jesus, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, that we can have an open mind and an open heart concerning your will for our lives. We pray that you would meet with us. Lord, you have a plan this morning, God, that's far greater than anything we could come up with on our own. And we ask you, Lord, to do that, and that you'd receive the glory. Help me, God, to deliver your word. I pray, God, that, Lord, that your word would be a flame of fire to every heart and every mind here today. And God, I'm praying and believing for something supernatural that'll happen in the altar service today, that our lives will never be the same because of you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, if you were here, you remember that I talked to you about the great patriarch Joseph and how that God preserved his life and after his brothers had came and sold him off as a slave, only to find himself one time elevated to a place of power and a place of prominence in Egypt. For if you recall, when Pharaoh had the dreams that he had had in his life and he couldn't understand the interpretation of the dreams, how the butler that was brought up out of the prison that was now serving next to Pharaoh, how he came and reminded him that a couple of years ago I met a man in prison, his name was Joseph, and he was able to interpret our dreams, and I believe that he can help you as well. And how that the Bible says that when Joseph came, he began to speak to him about 7 years of plenty that would be followed by 7 years of famine. And the Lord moved in his life. And I brought this scripture up last week, but I feel like it's important to say one more time how that Pharaoh, a man that was pagan and did not worship God like you and I or even Joseph worshiped God, recognized the Spirit of God that was on his life. He makes this statement. He said, "Can we find one of such as this of whom the Spirit of the Lord is?" And I won't stay here but just a minute, but I'm just going to tell you, I believe this. When the Spirit of God and the anointing of God is on your life, you don't have to tell people you're anointed. You don't have to broadcast it. I believe the presence of God will go before you, and people will be changed, amen, by what God's doing in your life. I know there's people that come around and say, "Well, I'm this and I'm that," but can I tell you this? Amen. I believe your gift will make room for you. God will put you where he wants you, and God will do what he wants to do in your life. I just really believe that it's important for you and I to get all of Jesus that we can get inside of us, because there's a world that's messed up out there, and they need to know that there's a healing God and the Spirit of the Lord flows through us. That if God needs me to be used to minister to your life, the anointing is there, and God will do it, and he'll get the glory. Amen. Praise God. And so we understand how that happened, that by the things that Joseph did, it ended up saving Egypt from utter ruin and starvation. But as time went on, the Bible tells us that both Joseph and Pharaoh died. And there arises another Pharaoh that comes up over time who didn't know about Joseph and didn't know about how Joseph was used of God to preserve Egypt from ruin like he did. But what he notices is that the Israelites who are now living in this land are starting to progress, and they're starting to multiply and to grow in unprecedented fashion. In fact, the scripture tells us that they're growing at such a rapid pace that Pharaoh becomes alarmed, and he realizes that at any given time they could decide to join up with our enemies and revolt and could take us out and wipe us out of here. So we need to do something about this. So the scripture says that Pharaoh decides to make the Israelites their slaves, and they begin to work them and become aggressive against them, treat treating them harshly as they brought them into a time of severe hard labor. And the Bible says that over 400 years this is carrying on, and the whole time the Israelites are there, they're crying out to God for deliverance, and they're praying and asking God to bring them out. But it seemed like that much as they prayed, nothing's happening. How many's ever been there? Let me just see your hand. You just been to that point in your life where as much as you prayed, you felt like nothing was changing, nothing was moving, and this is exactly how that they are. But can I stop for a moment and tell you, amen, and I know you've heard it before, but I feel like you need to hear it again, that God's delay is not God's denial. And just because we don't always see him at work does not mean that God is not at work. Because let me help you and tell you, he's a good God, and he knows what's going on in your life, and he will not suffer your feet to be moved, but he'll be your shield, and he'll be your buckler. He'll be your help in time of trouble. He'll be your provider. He'll be your deliverer. Come on, church. Aren't you glad that the Lord's at work in your life? Somebody say, he's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for me. Touch somebody beside you and say, he's got a plan for me this morning. I may not understand the plan. I may not know what he's up to, but I know God is attentive to my prayer. Amen. This word of God says, amen, that the Lord listens to the cry of his people. And I believe this. Amen. You may be in church this morning and say, pastor, but I've been praying and nothing's changing. I'm just telling you to hold on a little longer, because God is about to show up in your life. I'm telling you, somebody said, how long you gonna preach? I don't know, but I'm feeling good this morning. Amen. So we might just have to make that a burnt offering to the Lord this morning. Amen. Come on, church. I'm just telling you, God moves even when we can't see him move. Amen. See, what they don't understand is that God is going to raise up somebody that's of their own race and their own lineage and their own people. Amen. Why? Because he's going to be the man for the job. He's going to be the one that God's going to use to do this great work to come out of there. They wouldn't have ever assumed it was happening this way. And I'm just going to say one more point, and we're moving on this. But let me tell you, sometimes God works in ways you cannot see, and sometimes God uses the craziest of situations to make it happen. But don't you ever take for granted anything. And I'm telling you, God may use the most unsuspecting people to touch your life, but as long as God's in it, let's let God have his way. Well, here in the text, God is meeting with Moses, who is the man that he's chosen for this task. And the Bible says that Moses at this point in time is on the far back of the desert next to Mount Sinai, and he sees a bush that is over there that is burning, but yet it's not being consumed. And the curiosity of Moses says, let me go over there and find out what's going on. And so he starts to get a little closer, and as he gets over there, amen, the Bible said the Lord begins to speak out of him, to speak to him out of the bush, and said, Moses, don't come any closer until you take the shoes off of your feet, because the ground in which you are standing is holy. And after he does this, God begins to converse with him, telling him, he said, look, I've been listening to the distressing cries of my people, and I'm going to bring them out, and you're going to be the man to bring them. Amen. The problem with that is that at this point in time, Moses is not one bit interested in this job. You see, because at this point in Moses' life, it's become very relaxed, very comfortable, very convenient. At this time, you study the Bible. Amen. At this point in time, Moses has a wife. He's got some kids. His father-in-law is a priest over in Midian. He's got a good job as a shepherd. Everything in life seems convenient. Everything seems to be calm and collected. Amen. A far cry from where he once was. You see, because 40 years ago, there was a past that he left behind, thinking that I'll never come back to this again, because 40 years ago, amen, he's living in Egypt in the palace of Pharaoh, amen, and at the point of his life that he came there, after killing an Egyptian, he runs for his life, and he realizes he's in trouble, and in his mind, now that he's talking to God, he's saying, hey, I left that country, and I don't ever intend on going back. But isn't it amazing about God, that sometimes the Lord said, the very stuff I brought you out of is the place I'm bringing you back to. You see, him and God end up going round and round and round. And Moses continues to tell God why he thinks this is a bad idea. He said, you know what? I'm going to get over there. They're not going to believe anything I've got to say. He said, if I get over there, who am I even going to tell them sent me? God said, you tell them that the I Am sent you. Amen. How many knows he's the great I Am? Amen. Yeah, I am what? I am this that you need. I'm that that you need. If you need healing, I'm your healer. If you need provision, I'm your provider. If you need strength, I'm your strength. If you need deliverance, I'm delivering. If you need forgiveness, I'm your say. Come on, church. He is everything you need. Woo! Come on. For everything you need in your life. He said, you just tell him that. He said, I'm going to get over there, and I don't even have the words to say. He said, you don't even worry about that. I'm going to give you the words to say. He said, I'm not a good speaker. And this goes on and on and on until finally you read in chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible said that God gets angry with Moses. And he said, all right, buddy, here's the deal. You're going on and on and on telling me about how you can't do this and you can't do that. So here's what we're going to do. Your brother Aaron is coming over here. He's a couple of years older than you are, but the two of you are going to go together, and together you're going to go stand before Pharaoh. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to speak to you. You speak to him, and he'll deliver the message. He said, but I'm telling you right now, I've got a plan. I'm going to do something. I'm going to work in your life, and you might as well get ready for it. Let me just stop and talk to you this morning about the call of God and the work of God in your life. Because what I've discovered in my own soul, amen, is that there are times that God is saying, you know what? I know it's been convenient. I know it's been easy. But now it's time to pack up and get to work. Are you with me this morning? Because I know sometimes we say, hey, but God, ain't nobody going to care what I've got to say. But that's where the anointing comes in. Because they may not care about you, but they'll feel the touch of God on their life. See, I need to talk to someone that's here this morning that knows without a doubt that God has placed a call, but due to circumstances, due to travail, due to rejection, maybe even failure, you've been on the run, and now you found yourself in a seat of complacency. Yet the whole time you're sitting there, you know that God is speaking to your life and telling you that he's got to work and you need to get to it. But all the time you're thinking of a thousand reasons why that I don't need to do this, and why this is not going to work, and why it's never going to amount to nothing. I mean, right now, as I said, my life is simple. I can do whatever I want to do. There's no expectations. There's nothing, nobody asking me to do anything. There's no worry about the burden of ministry. There's no demand on my time. I can go to church when I want. I don't have to go to church when I don't want. I can do whatever I want because I'm not in that place. But I'm telling you, the whole time you know without a doubt that God is speaking to you saying, oh yeah, it's convenient. But you know you're out of the will of God. And it's time to rise to the occasion and say, God, here it is. If I have to be inconvenienced, if I have to be put out a little bit, that's all right. I just want to please you. And let me just say this. This week, as God began to deal with my heart about this, I didn't know why in the world I'd be preaching this except that God told me to. So whoever this is for, grab it. And if it ain't for you, give it to somebody that it is. Amen. But I'm just telling you this morning, there is no peace when you're outside the boundaries of where God's called you to be. Amen. Oh, I know that there's times saying, look here, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to go through that again. I've felt that kind of trouble before, and I don't plan on going back. But I'll tell you one thing, amen, there's something about getting up and saying, God, I just want your plan for my life. I know that people may not understand me. There's plenty of people saying that this ain't going to work. There's plenty of people reminding me of the pain of what I went through before. I've got all kinds of folk talking in my head, trying to say, hey, you remember what it was in the past. But you know what? Right now, all I know is that God is saying that it's time to rise to the occasion and walk in the fulfillment of the will of God for me. So I'm sorry. You may not agree with me, and you may not understand me, but I'm going to get where God wanted me to be and doing what God asked me to, because I want his will for my life this morning. Praise God. Amen. See, let me tell you something about Moses for a minute. I told you at this point in time, he's 80 years old right here in this story. The first 40 years of his life were ones of both preservation and preparation. Say those words with me this morning. Preservation and preparation. Say it again. Preservation and preparation. Let me talk about the preservation part. See, Moses was born during a time whenever the Pharaoh decided, here's what we need to do. Every male child that is born needs to be thrown into the Nile River and got killed off and got rid. That's the only way we're going to stop this multiplication process of these Israelites is to kill them and to get rid of them. And so they go there. But he has a mama and a daddy who feared God. And the Bible said that they looked at their child and knew that there was something special about them. And so mom and daddy says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hide him in a basket and send him through the river, and he's going to go through the bulrushes, and God does something amazing. You know this story, how that it comes along there, and the scripture says that the handmaiden, Pharaoh's daughter, is the one that's going to come, who happens to be his own mama, and God perfects this thing and preserves it when the devil tried to take him out. Amen. Is what I'm trying to tell you, is that God spared his life. And can somebody say, Lord, I thank you, because when the devil tried to take me out, amen, God spared my life. Amen. I know God's got a purpose. I know God's got a plan. The devil said it was over, but God said we ain't even started yet. But it's also a time of preparation, because in the first 40 years of his life, as I told you, he's being raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He's being taught about the customs of Egypt, but he's also seeing firsthand about the travail and the heartache and the depth of that his own people, the Israelites, are going through. And he's getting that from both perspectives right there. And God is setting him up. God is preparing him, because there's a day coming when he's going to need to use everything that he's learning. Amen. In this place. And can I tell you this morning that God knew what he was doing when he put you in the place of your life that he was. You see, because the next 40 years of his life are also 40 years of preparation, because now he's working as a shepherd. And on this place, he's having to learn how to trust. He's learning faith. He's learning how to be a leader. He's learning all these things. And the whole time, he thinks he's just counting sheep and watching sheep. God is getting ready to take millions of Jews out of Egypt and into the promise. Come on, church. What you thought meant nothing, and what you thought wasn't going to be anything, God was using that to get you ready for the call of God on your life. Come on, church. Aren't you glad, amen, that sometimes God says, you know what, all that time you just thought you were sitting there and nothing was going on, I was feeding you and I was teaching you and I was getting you ready, and all the struggles of your life and all the things you were going through were designed to mold you and get you ready, because now I'm about to elevate you and come on, church, and to put you in that place. And had you not been through what you've been through, you wouldn't be ready for what I'm about to do right now. Praise God. How many believes there's a pain this morning? There's a purpose in your pain. There's a reason for your struggle. And everything that God has taught you along the journey is to prepare you for the moment that you're in right now. See, what I found out in my life is that there are things that I've learned over years that I never would have dreamed that I'd have to use right now. But thank God, Brother David, that God taught me along the journey. I shared this, I think, on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, how that over the years, the last, since 2009 was the last time that I'd went and pastored a church, and to be honest with you, I was just frustrated with that. And I told myself, said, by the help and the grace of God, I will never do this again. Amen. But I was tired and I was frustrated with that. And through the process from 2009 to 2016, this is what God does. He puts me in a place of serving as an evangelist. Amen. And learning how to serve as a worship leader and a Sunday school teacher and an associate pastor, and going through the journey, and the whole time thinking, God, what are you doing? I'll tell you what God was doing. God was getting me ready, because a day was coming when the word of the Lord would say, go plant a church in an old broken down city called Humphrey. And had I not been there, I wouldn't be here this morning. Never discount what God has done in your life. Hallelujah. Come on, we just need to lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Oh, hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, this morning, I believe we can submit to one another that everything that we've learned and gained during this season of your life God is using it for your good. See, you didn't understand maybe the real power of prayer until you got your heart broke, and then you knew you had to pray. You didn't understand the real necessity of ministry until ministry was not there no more. You didn't realize the value of standing for Jesus until you found yourself standing all alone. But these are all things that God has taught you along the journey. And I know this morning, hallelujah, oh man, I feel my help this morning. Amen. I'm telling you all during this time that you've been sitting there saying, God, I don't understand it. I don't understand the rejection. I don't understand the pain. I don't understand the failure. I don't understand that at all. But God says, you get ready because I'm molding you. You're fixing to walk right back into the enemy's camp, and you're going to take back everything that is stolen. Come on, church. Aren't you glad that God has said, hey, I know what I'm doing, and I've got you ready for this moment of your life. And I just believe that the occasion God's bringing somebody up this morning, you're walking back into that stronger and wiser and better, and the anointing and the power that flows through you is going to pale in comparison. Amen. The what's one was there will pale in comparison to what God is doing right now, because now I know what it was to suffer. I know what it was to fast. I know what it is to pray. I can't pray no more. I know what it is to shed tears till my ducts couldn't put tears out no longer. I know what it is to stand when nobody else is there. So now I'm ready for battle. I may not have been ready before, but honey, I'm ready now. I may not have been prepared before, but I'm prepared now. I may not have known nothing then, but I know something now, because the wisdom of God, woo, and the understanding and the ministry of the Holy Ghost has poured into my life, and I'm ready to do something this morning. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, the Moses that left Egypt 40 years ago is not the same Moses that's going back in there again. And I declare this over somebody's life, that the person you was when you stepped aside and not the person you're going to be when you walk back into it. Come on, how many received that for your life this morning? The person that you once was when you stepped away is not the person you're going to be this time. This time you're going with a rage, a fire in your belly. Amen. This time you're stepping up with an anointing and a calling that God has been preparing you for all this time. And I'm telling you this morning that the devil that said he defeated you before is going to have a fight on his hand. There was a day you would have run from him. But Sister Connie, today we're standing up saying, oh, No. Today, if we're going to fight, then let's fight, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strong. Come on, church. I'm different than I was before. God is doing a fresh, a new, and awakening inside of you. And I just believe this morning that somebody's fixing to get up and shake the gates of hell with the glory of God that's radiating out of your life. Hallelujah. The people you're going to minister to this time are going to be in a place where they're going to see somebody pouring into their life that they don't even recognize, because the anointing of God is so rich on them. Jesus. Something different is happening. Something glorious is happening. See, because this new you has been in the secret place with God, and you've learned more about God and gained more of His presence than you ever could have before. All the time, and I'll say this even for myself, I've been there. You take this stuff for granted. We just go through and just think this the way it happens. But I'll tell you, when the devil comes up in your face, Brother David, and says, you know what? You might as well just put an end to this. This is going nowhere. But God said, you just wait a minute. I'm preparing. I'm getting something ready. Is anybody with me in church this morning? I'm saying God is getting something ready. God is building some. God is working. Amen. I'm telling you, I declare this over this church this morning. Amen. That I believe that the church that Humphrey saw a year ago is not the church Humphrey's about to see. I believe a greater anointing, a greater endowment of power, a greater spirit, a revival, a greater glory. Amen. I believe the declaration of the word that he said that the glory of the latter house be greater than the glory of the former house. Oh, thank God for what was a year ago. But Brother Gary, the best is yet to come. Come on and stand across this room and lift your hands to heaven. Glory to God. Woo!
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stay standing this morning. Can I tell you that after all was said and done, the Bible says that Moses did more miracles than any man recorded in the Word of God. The Bible said there was a radiance, a glow that came on him that nobody could describe. This is not the same Moses that left there before. This is a new Moses with a fresh anointing and a fresh touch of God on his life. And I feel like God is speaking to somebody this morning to let you know that the old is gone, the new is come. We're shagging off what we had. We're walking into a fresh territory with a fresh anointing, a fresh endowment of power. Amen. I'm sorry about yesterday, but yesterday's gone. We're walking in the right now, and we're walking in a fresh touch of God, a fresh move of the Holy Ghost, and the glory of God is radiating in our life because God has done a work in our lives, and we're moving forward in Jesus' name. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Come on, church, lift your hands across the room. Amen. God, we thank you. God, we give you glory. God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you worship this morning, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. I thank you, God, that you're building and molding and making and stirring this morning. And I thank you, God, that you've got a word for us this morning, God, that, Lord, you're fixing to take us into a deeper place in you, a deeper cringing of the anointing and the power of God on our life. And, Father, we submit to that. We lay aside our agendas. We lay aside our will. We lay aside our purpose. We lay aside our pain. We lay aside our hindrances. We lay aside our travesties. And right now, Jesus, we take up the mantle, God, that you've left for us, God, the double portion of mantle, God, that you've left for us. And Father, we walk with that, and we declare in Jesus' name that where we're going, God, you are going to be our God, and you are going to be our strength, and you will empower us, God, to overcome the enemy, to tread upon serpents, to cast out devil, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to declare this glorious gospel, and to see lives change for your glory, for your honor, for your kingdom today, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. Come on, I'm not going to ask anybody specific, but I'm going to ask every one of us to come out of your seat this morning, amen, and join with us at the front. Stand here and lift your hands to God. And as a body of believers, can we do this? God, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, God. Anoint me afresh and anew, God. Anoint me. Come on, make room. Come on. Come on, God. I'm looking for you, God. I'm looking for you, God. You're going to do something new in my life. You're going to do something fresh. You're going to do something impactful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church.